We're gabbing. We're gabbing. We're gabbing. We're gabbing. We're gabbing. We're gabbing.
Welcome to Gabbing
Gabbing!
with Gracie
And Heather.
Well, this evening, my choice of wine was purely aesthetic. I chose the Matt Michael 2022 Barbera. I've never heard of this type of wine. Apparently, it's an Italian. Like, this is Californian, but it's like inspired by an Italian wine.
Okay. Never heard
And
of it either.
It's very fruity. Like, it has notes of wild berries, black cherries, sweet pipe tobacco, and black licorice. So it kind of reminds me of a Cabernet Sauvignon, but like sweeter even.
Okay.
But it was good. But the label is very spring looking. So I was like, ooh, let me
Perfect.
open this one.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. And I am having the Dark Horse Rosé again. I don't venture out much.
Well, tonight we're continuing with The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Season 5. And last week we had discussed episodes 1 through 4. So now we're going to discuss 5 through 9. And
I hope we can make it.
Yeah, we're going to do this.
Because it seems like a lot, a lot, a lot. Not that it seems, a lot did happen.
So much happened in this entire season. Like, every episode had so much information in it.
No filler episodes at all.
Yeah, no filler episodes at all for the season.
No
yeah
filler
episodes. So just like the previous four episodes, 5 is the Pirate Queen, and it goes back and forth between different time periods. So we start off in 1987, where Joel is in prison and Midge goes to visit him. And I think this is the first time we're seeing Joel in prison, right?
I believe so. Yes. Yes. Wait, that's episode 5?
That's episode 5.
Oh, geez, Louise. Okay.
Well, we find out that he's in prison and Midge visits him regularly, it seems like.
Yes.
Because they really do have, as much as like their relationship needed to, or their, I should say their marriage needed to end so that they could both progress as characters, their relationship continues on and it's a really kind of nice relationship.
It is.
Yeah. But then once Midge goes to visit him in 1987, goes back to 1961, and Joel and Archie are looking to open a new club. And so they're visiting a church or a school, like
yeah.
a Catholic school that was like closing.
Yeah.
That I guess Archie went to as a kid. But yeah, I'm just trying to see what other things kind of happened in this episode. This was Zelda got married.
That's right. And that scene was hilarious.
Wait, which one? The one where they're actually getting married or the one where they're getting ready? Both are hilarious.
Both are hilarious because Shirley is like, Zelda, basically don't breathe, don't move, don't do anything because this dress is going to come apart. And it didn't, but you know, you have Wiseman family realizing that Zelda will no longer be working for them based off
yeah.
of what Janus says. And they're
yeah,
all.
He says something about like that he's glad that she won't have to work anymore.
Yes, they're all in a frenzy.
Yeah, they all kind of are like, wait, what does this mean? And Joel even. So it's like the Weissman, Joel, or Maisel family. Because
yes.
Joel's like, wait a minute, does that mean that they won't be picking them up at school? Blah,
yes.
Blah, blah.
They become selfish.
Yeah, like they're all happy. And then they like realize, oh, wait a second. This is impacting us. What
yes.
do you mean she's not going to continue to work for us?
And Mitch doesn't even realize it. Like, her parents are freaking out and they keep looking back at her and she's like, be quiet, you know, like, and then it, oh, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know what you guys are talking about. Oh, you know, because she's not around. They're like, no one's around. Everyone's working. Everyone's doing something.
Yeah. And they're all, it goes back to, I think we discussed this in a previous episode where like, they didn't even realize that Janus was like around, like a stranger. Like they all just assumed that somebody else in the family had arranged for him to come in and work on stuff. And so he's been hanging around for weeks, not realizing that he's like dating Zelda.
No communication whatsoever
yeah.
in the household at all.
Yeah. No communication and just like a lack of taking responsibility for anything.
Yes. And it makes you wonder why the kids are the way they are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, those were two really funny scenes. And then this was the whole yacht fiasco, which is why it's called the Pirate Queen.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But Shirley is like up Zelda's dress, fixing it. It's just too, she is, you
Oh
said
my
it.
God.
You said it last episode. She is hilarious.
Shirley's gold.
Jolie, as Shirley likes to call him on the fire escape.
Oh
And you
yeah,
see
is that when they're
Zelda.
starting to talk about how they're going to deal with Zelda not working there?
Yes, and Zelda is showing Abe and Rose how to use the vacuum.
Oh yeah, because they're like,
They're freaking out.
yeah, they're just such a hot mess, and that will
And
continue on into further episodes
yes,
as well.
it's a running joke, if you want to call it a joke.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll read off some notes that I made about things that happened in this episode. Alfie got a llama, and he has the llama in the hotel room, and I think he's in Vegas.
And he's jacking up, or it is, costing a lot of money.
Yeah, I think thousands of dollars in room service.
And he tells Susie, like, the llama is offended that you're saying all these things, like, she can hear you.
One of the other things that happens is Susie and James are waiting to see if James gets a part in a movie that he really wants. And he's kind of driving Susie crazy. But who can blame him? It's his big break.
Yeah, being that you're so close, you want to know what's going on. And so it makes sense that he's perpetually asking. And so she has to obviously ask what's going on, like.
Yeah, because I think didn't he get like called back like three times or something? So
Yeah.
he was so close to getting it. It was just a matter of like waiting to find out if they picked him or another person.
I mean, like you said, like, who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be calling? And like, I wish we had our dear friend Takara here so we can ask her, how do you react when you're so close to getting
Oh.
a role? Like, are you constantly calling, asking what's going on, or do you? It obviously depends on the person,
Yeah, and I mean, you're definitely
I
like
think.
making sure your agent is on it or your manager or whoever it is that's dealing with that. So, but we'll find out in a different episode what happens with all that. And then the other big thing that this episode was about, which ties into the name the Pirate Queen, is that George wants Gordon to do like a diaper ad on the show and he doesn't want to. So
He's
there's
gonna
like a
cramp
whole,
his style.
yeah, there's this whole social on this yacht that George wanted Gordon to attend and he doesn't want to. So he has Midge go instead. And she does like a whole like set and like she's killing it and everything's going great. Like they love her. And then she intervenes when a server is being harassed by a man.
Good for her.
Yeah, I know. Good for her. You got to stand up for each other. And
A
the guy on
lot
the
of
scene is such
people
an
would
ass.
not do that.
Yeah.
But Midge, don't fuck with Midge.
Yeah, especially since like he was obviously there to represent the diaper company. Was it like diaper paste or
It was like
something?
a diaper rash.
Yeah, rash cream. But yeah, so she intervenes and she goes to like she's like trying to show him like you shouldn't touch things that don't belong to you, i.e. the server who's just trying to do her job and he's trying to grope her. And she goes to put on his coat, like being like, oh, you don't want me to touch your, or his suit jacket. You don't want me to touch your fancy suit jacket. And then when she goes to put it on, the wind comes and it blows it overboard. I think with his keys and his wallet into the
Yeah,
ocean.
it serves him right.
Yeah.
Serves him right. And good for
Yeah.
Midge for standing up, fighting
Yeah,
the cause.
exactly. Exactly. So the diaper people do not like that. They have the Coast Guard come and haul her ass off.
And
And Gordon, is that what your end is?
no, my and is it's on what type of waters?
Oh, international waters.
Which I'm so New York based, like New York minded. I think all that water is ours. I forget, like,
Yeah, because once you get out a certain amount of feet, it's international waters.
yeah.
Yeah, so.
Especially down where they were doing this, right? It's not like the Hudson River and you
Yeah,
see
because
New Jersey.
you would assume it's like, I don't know, like a 3 hour social or 3 4 hour social. So like they're out
Three-hour
in the ocean
tour.
in the open waters. So it ends up being an act of piracy because they were
Gosh.
on international waters and the wallet was in the coat. So those two
Midge.
things made it piracy. So she
Midge,
is the pirate queen.
Midge. Midge, Midge, Midge.
But everybody has to convene at the studio. Like Susie has to come in and everything, and Gordon and the lawyers, they explain exactly what happened. And instead of getting mad, Gordon finds it hilarious.
I thought he would have been a little bit upset, but he didn't want for the show to have any association with the diaper rash company. And it's on Gordon because
Yeah.
he should have listened to the star of the show.
It's on George, you mean?
Oh, George, where did I get? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, George.
Yeah, it's on George to he should have listened to Gordon. 'Cause yeah, Gordon seemed more annoyed that George went ahead and had the social and had Midge go rather than anything that Midge did.
But to be fair, at that point, how would he have backed out?
Yeah,
It
that was
seemed
George's argument, like it was already planned.
it was already planned. He should have brought it up a long time ago, not like the day of or the week of or whatever, because this is obviously something that you need to make sure that Gordon is available for. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, George was on a total power trip. He thought that he could do whatever he wanted, and he probably purposely kept it from him, figuring like if it was so last minute, Gordon would have to just
Would have to
go
do
ahead and do
it.
it.
Yeah, because he knew that Gordon wouldn't like it in the first place.
Yeah.
So odd.
Gordon doesn't end up firing her. Instead, he secretly goes to see her set afterwards, and then he goes and takes her to dinner after her set. And that's how this episode ends.
I thought after her set that she would tell Gordon to take her to a nice fancy restaurant. It just goes to show that she's just not that type of girl.
I think he thought
Which
that
we,
too.
yep.
Episode 6 is the testy roast deal. And this one jumps all the hell over.
I mean, I think this is going to be a short discussion when you think
Yeah.
about it. Because what's the heart of this whole entire story?
It's Midge and
From
Susie
the
breaking up.
and why? And
Because
I called it.
you did call
I have that
it.
in my crayon notes.
What did your crayon note say exactly?
Realization, no trust from Mish to Susie, or was it the mobsters?
You called it. Yeah, so
This one
he's.
burned. This one burned. This one burned.
Yeah, this one was like, I love this episode because you learned so much about things, but it's basically 1985, Midge and Susie break up, and then it's New York City, the Friars Club, 1990. They're doing a roast for Susie. And so throughout the roast, you get all these little backstories of what happened. So like they talk about how she got all like a bunch of Harry's clients when Harry died, talks about how like Dinah got beat up by her boyfriend and Susie sends Frank and Nikki to go beat the boyfriend up. It talks about how Mike and Susie kind of meshed together because she found some juice, some tea on George
George.
that got Mike to be able to get George fired. Like there's just so many different things that happen.
I forgot about Mike, and I actually really loved how they fell into each other. Like it was just like, I don't, what's the right word? I don't want to say grudgingly, begrudgingly or anything like that, but it's
Aggressively, because they're both such
aggressively.
aggressive personalities and like they have such vitriol for each other,
Oh my
and then
God.
they just like aggressively mesh together.
That, yeah, that's true. And I think out of that, they grew to respect each other.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. They have respect for each other.
They do because they do their jobs because they actually care.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that when Mike is talking at the roast and like when he finishes, him and Susie give each other the finger. And it's such like a loving
It
scene of them
is.
giving each other the finger.
It really
And I think it
is.
was the double finger, right? Like wasn't it like,
Yes, it was the double middle fingers.
yeah.
Yeah. It was really good.
So I love that.
And thank you for remembering to write down the dates because I thought to myself, how long was it that Midge and Susie did not talk to each other? 5 years is a long time. It happens. You know, it
It does.
happens.
It does.
But
Yeah.
how it happened?
Oh, real quick before we get into the crux of that,
Okay.
just a couple other things that I saw. I told you Tessie would be back with some singing.
I was
That was
like, girl,
so awkward.
get off this. She's like number one, what, in Singapore or something? I can't remember. And Susie told her to go live over there, and she went. And she's like the star, I guess, over there.
Yeah.
Because the way she came on that stage, she acted like as if she is Whitney Houston. Like, girl, no. Go sit down.
And she redid everyone's jokes and then sang. Oh my gosh, I was dying. And
You
then
were dying, and
the
then at
one
the
other,
end, were you crying? I was crying, but you keep saying what you were gonna say.
Wait, when with Midge?
Yes, but you keep
Yeah,
talking. You
but
keep
one
talking.
thing else, another funny story I just wanted to bring up because I think that was all of them, but the big one, but the Midge Hawaii story where Susie had to break up with Philip Ross for Midge. I was just like, y'all are too much.
She had to
Like, the
break up.
Weissmans are crazy.
Yes, they were like, what about our cake? We spent a lot of money on that cake.
And Midge is like, can you just do it for me? Like, how are you going to
But she
not
did
break
it.
up with your own
She did
fiance?
it. She did it. Because she knows she's wrong. She knows. She don't want to deal with it.
And she's all like, I think I'm in love with Joel still. Philip is a wonderful lover, but he's not Joel.
I'm not going to get into the whole Joel thing right now, but like,
Like,
Mitch.
that family is too much. They all need therapy.
They do.
I
They.
think Esther's the only one to go to therapy. And she probably needs it less than everybody else.
She probably does because at least she's been able to recognize that she needs freaking help. So she's like all good in the hood.
Yeah. But the big thing is we find out the story of how Midge and Susie broke up because all of the guys are hanging out at the roast trying to compare notes. And so one of them is like, oh, I got it because Susie told me the story when she was drunk one night, and then Midge told me the story when she was drunk one night, so I can mesh them together and figure it out.
That was Mike.
Was it Mike?
It was Mike.
Okay, I didn't write down who it was. That
Which is
makes sense.
nice. Which is
Yeah.
nice. I feel like I'm kind of happy that it was him.
If anybody knows, it should be Mike.
Right.
We knew from a previous episode, right, that Joel was
Joel
fucking
offered
with
his
Nick and
services.
yeah. So like that continues on for years. Joel is working with Nikki and Frank and the mobsters to take over the responsibilities of Midge's contract with them or whatever. Like their unwritten contract that they had with Midge, where they were getting, I think, like 30% of everything she made. So that goes on for years. And then in fast forward to 1985, so over 20 years. That's going on. They're in Temple for some kind of service, and the FBI bust in and they arrest Joel. And Joel knew it was coming, but he didn't know they were going to come here. So Joel hands Midge a letter, being like, read the letter, explains everything. So it explains how he took over working with Nikki and Frank and all of that because Susie owed them. So they were taking like money from Midge without her knowing it, yada, yada, yada. So now Midge knows everything. And so she calls Susie in and they get into a big confrontation and break up. That's a very short version.
I mean, that's perfect. That's what
Yeah.
it is. Like, because we need to
Yeah.
talk about this, right? It is a betrayal. She never said anything to, well, let me rephrase that. Because didn't she kind of know, and this would set them free, that stupid performance about the garbage company?
Midge and Susie at the time were both thinking that if Midge performed in the garbage show at the
They're off the
expo,
hook.
they were off the hook. So Susie finds out at the time, no, that doesn't make them off the hook. And she just doesn't tell Midge this. So Midge goes along life thinking that they're free and clear and they don't have to do anything else. And so the betrayal is that Susie didn't let her know that was communicated, that it was communicated that she was still on the hook with them.
Now, here's my question to you. When Midge confronts Susie, does Susie know that he did that already?
She must
She.
because they're still getting 30% of all of her other clients, is my understanding, just not Midge.
Okay.
So
Then
that
I can
must
either
have been
way then.
I mean, the details probably weren't communicated.
It
But
just happened,
between
and
like
that's it.
Joel saying, I'm going to take care of this, and them no longer taking 30% from Midge, it must have been communicated to Susie
Okay.
in
All
some
right.
way.
Okay.
But that's me making an assumption, but I don't know how she wouldn't know.
Right. I have a smile on my face because I just put on the episode with Sutton Foster and Hank Azaria. in the black and white television show. Like it was like one of those old timey shows.
Oh, yeah.
It's I don't know, it just brings back memories of like watching black and white, quote unquote, wholesome television shows from back in the days.
The one other thing that I made note of in their fight was that Midge brings out that she's doing all these casino shows, and she's like, "Oh, isn't that a coincidence that I'm doing all these casino shows? I'm probably paying off your gambling debt," because we find out that Susie has a gambling problem. And
I
she
didn't
doesn't
know.
deny it. She just kind
Did
of like,
we
"You're
know
getting paid
it?
a lot for those."
Did we?
I don't think I realized at the time. I mean, you see her gambling with like Mike and stuff.
Yeah, but she's winning, so it's like I don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
They don't show how often it happens. I guess she gets addicted to it.
Yeah. But at the very end of the roast, they have a video with Midge, and she basically says that she's getting sentimental and that she would love to see Susie the next time they're in town together and to give her a call. And Susie immediately goes to her assistant and was like,
And
"Get
their
me her
assistant already
number."
had it.
Yep, the assistant knew.
Oh.
So the gang is getting back together. I don't think we ever see them getting back together though.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's fine. I'm teary-eyed now. You know me and
Become
my.
female relationships. We
Oh
love us
my
some female
goodness.
relationships. Y'all can see
Yes.
Gracie right now.
I'm all teary-eyed. I'm trying my best because I can let it go. I can let it rip. But I was like bawling. I was bawling. Oh my God. I
Oh,
need a
I can't wait to
tissue.
get to the last
Oh.
episode. I know you were
Oh.
bawling during that last scene.
Was I? I don't know. I might have
We'll
been just
find
so
out.
happy I wasn't bawling whatsoever. But I was just so happy that they didn't let it end with like neither of them not talking to each other again. Oh.
Yeah, which that does happen in reality, that you
It
break up with
does.
people and you never.
And I give it to Midge for being mature enough to be like, I forgive you, I miss you. Let's be friends again, you know? Oh my gosh. And I would assume that they talked it out because that's just the way they are. I'm like crying.
Yeah.
And then it was as if they hadn't spoken in 5 years. Like they picked up right where they left off. And
Yeah.
that's that.
Episode 7. I have so many notes on this page that it's going to be hard to read them.
I'm already seeing one ridiculous thing that we can talk about if you
All
want to
right.
get it out
But
of the way.
Episode 7 is a house full of extremely lame horses, which is like the perfect name for this episode because they're obviously talking about the Weissmans.
Oh, talking about the wise men, they
That's what I
are.
assumed.
I didn't really think about it. I just assumed that like everyone has their moments, and it was just that. But what didn't somebody say that on the show? Like Abe, probably.
Oh, about themselves,
Oh,
maybe?
just a comment. Sometimes don't they use the titles of the episode as quotes that are given on the show?
It's possible, but this is the episode where Zelda keeps having to come over and show them how to do things, like light the pilot light,
Oh my God.
wear the linen closet, and her poor book. She made this beautiful instructional book on how to do everything that pertains to her job.
Too detailed.
Yeah, she includes pictures. She obviously does not know these people.
Heather, you know what? Yes. But you know what the thing is that she enabled them.
Yeah.
She made herself too dependable. Is that the right word?
Yeah, and so to be honest, because they like he was picking the kids up from school and all this stuff.
Well, he
He knew
was
from the
doing it
very
to probably
beginning.
get into Zelda's pants.
Yeah, true. But that backfired because they expected
But now that you mention it, right? Like she made this beautiful book, and hoping, here we go, the stove light won't turn on.
it.
Cannot help herself. She cannot, oh my God. And I just realized now, and I don't know why, but Midge is trying to comb Esther's hair and it's like a hot mess. And Esther comes out when Zelda comes over to her and she's like, oh, your hair. Like she did everything. She
Yeah.
even did Esther's hair.
She was like the parent, the housekeeper, the fixer-upper.
Yes. Yes,
Yeah.
but this is the thing. She made herself dependable because she loved her job.
Yes.
Okay? Because she kept coming back.
She
And
probably
she
would have
could,
continued on too if it
if it
wasn't
wasn't for, yeah, you know what? And there's a man trying to bring a woman down. Okay, like did he ask her, do you want to work or do you not want to work? Or was it just expected because, you know?
Probably not. It's
But what if I want to work? By the end of this show, whatever last episode we see her in, I'm not going to mention it, but she is stressed out. This could ruin her marriage.
Oh yeah, the bathroom scene.
Yes. I didn't want to
Yep.
say it. She's hiding in the bathroom talking to, I can't remember
Rose.
which family
I
member.
think it was Rose.
And
And
she
she's
ha
like, this phone call never happened.
yes. And Giannis is like, are you talking to anybody? In the bathroom
Yeah.
with the phone. And you know, it is a
On her
corded
knees.
phone. A corded phone. As if
Yeah.
he is not going to be like, that's why he asked, who are you talking to? Coming through the special servants entrance, trying to help them figure out stuff. Even Midge, of all people, even Midge is like, huh? What's going on?
Oh, Midge looking through the book was hilarious.
She might blow up the building. And Janus is like,
Yeah.
let her.
The book with the tea, I thought that was funny because she, I think she labels it like how to light pilot to make tea or something like that. Because she knows Rose is going to want tea and she's going to need to know how to make it.
She is. I wish they had given like an update on that. I really wish how they would have lived their lives without her. I mean, all they had to do was have her interview someone to take over.
Yeah, that's
But they
true.
don't think because they're too dependent. They all do need therapy. You're right. They need
Yeah, because
therapy.
that doesn't even come up to have
Oh,
somebody else.
Janus, when a horse is lame, it is useless. Janus is the one that
Ah.
said it. There we go. Oh, yes, entire house full of extremely lame horses. He said it. But
Okay.
in Polish, not in English.
You called it then, but that's only one piece of this episode. There's so many other things that happen. Like as a transition, one of the things that happens when Zelda and Janusz are there is that the bathroom floods, and we find out it's because Ethan had shoved a ship down the drain and got it clogged. So it caused like a whole series of things because the bathroom flooded down into like different apartments below and everything. And so Janusz had to like step in and help, and Zelda was helping to try to like get the water stopped and everything. And then that transitions
It wouldn't have
into,
happened if Zelda was around.
yeah, that's true. It wouldn't have. It transitions into two things. There's the, I think they get into it in this one about the, yeah, the first wise man's son is always a genius. And we have a flashback to 1954 where Abe is telling Joel about this and how Joel shouldn't speak to his son before the age of six if it can be avoided.
So
Because by the age of six, they show their genius.
craziest conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of crazy conversations on the
Yeah.
show, but that one is by far one of the craziest.
And Joel doesn't think that he's serious, which we find out later in the episode.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway, like, so Abe is like expecting any moment for Ethan to be the super genius and not be shoving ships down the train. Like, he's trying to get him to play the piano. He's trying to like do this and that. And so he ends up, because the room flooded, he ended up having to take go to Ethan's like open house at school because Midge couldn't go. And so he finds out that Ethan is part of the happy group, which is so sweet. But Abe doesn't think it is. They have the kids take an aptitude test and they're separated into different groups. And so you have the engineers that are building stuff. You have like the financial
Sciences.
people and so much pressure for these little
I, but
kids.
you know, I have to be honest with you. I was like, the happy group? I was like, okay, that's cute. But you know, it makes me wonder, where is my child going to go in the future? Like, what career can you possibly have that will help you by being, I mean, you succeed by being happy in general, but
Yeah.
like,
Well, I mean, it's very
I
vague.
don't
It's
know.
kind of like a catch-all
Yes.
for everybody else.
Yes.
Because having a happy attitude does help you with a lot of different careers, like especially service and tech careers. But like the happy group is just so vague where everything else is very specific.
Yes.
So the school is trying to be like positive, being like, Ethan is probably the happiest child that we've ever had, yada yada yada.
Papa was not
The A,
having it.
no, he is not. He's not playing. He is like, you need to retest this child.
They
And
retest Ethan.
he ends up doing worse.
And
Which I
Abe,
assume is because he was so nervous from having to randomly take the test again.
and Abe is a mess about it. Absolute mess
Yeah.
about it.
And he blames Joel. So it ends up, so there's a scene. Oh, and that was like a really funny scene too, because everybody's there, like even Noah and his wife, which I couldn't remember her name, but they're there with the baby, and we find out they're trying to have another baby. So there's that back and forth and stuff. Joel ends up coming to pick up the kids, and Abe like freaks out. And so everybody starts freaking out because like some people are trying to calm down Abe. I think Noah was like, Pop, remember there was that one family member that they were a late bloomer, so maybe like he's still gonna like be the smartest. And then like Noah's wife is like freaking out, being like, I was banking on our kid to be smart. Like we can't have two dumb kids, blah, blah. And Joel is like, you all are too much. You need to stop. Stop calling my kid dumb. Like this is ridiculous.
Miss Chu was like, what the hell is wrong with you guys?
Yeah. So that was like a really funny scene. And then Ethan comes out acting like a chicken, which is not helping the
No, it's not helping at all.
cause.
Not at all. And Midge is trying to get him out, him and Esther.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, there's just so, this is the Danny Steven show. So this is the one that you were referring to with the black and white TV.
Yes.
So that's like a whole storyline in this episode where Danny Stevens comes on and he kind of breaks protocol and he goes into the writer's room and wants them to redo his jokes because he doesn't think that his team did like very funny jokes. And Midge tells him that he should talk about his family instead of like just doing jokes, that that's interesting, that people will find that interesting. So he ends up doing that and he kills it. Like everybody loves it. The show goes really well. And so afterwards, when they're at the club, he has Midge come over and sit with them. And right in front of Gordon, he offers her a job. And Gordon is like pissed. That is a pretty ballsy move, like to
Oh,
offer
it
someone a job in
really
front of
is.
their boss.
Really is. Oh my
Like, that's
gosh.
pretty arrogant of him.
Well, he's Danny Stevens. Is he more popular than Gordon Ford? Ooh. He thinks so.
Probably, like, well, like nationally, maybe. Who knows? It's
Who
totally
knows?
different.
Yeah, they
Like a
might be
movie
at the
star
same level.
versus a TV host. Yeah. Gordon ends up causing a scene and Toots come over and it's like,
Oh,
Gordon, are you starting
yeah.
shit again? And he ends up getting booted from the club again.
I was just like, this guy cannot catch a break. He's always, well, let me not say he cannot catch a break. He is troublesome.
Yeah. He's arrogant.
He really is. In a way, he's very much respectful. I don't, let me not say arrogant then. He believes in being respected. How about that? And
Yeah.
giving people their fair share. They have this rule. Apparently, it was George's, but Gordon is following it. Gordon can easily say no, but no writer should be on the show as a comedian, right? And then here we have this instance where he is offended, rightfully so, by Danny Stevens for trying to poach one of the writers right in front of him.
Yeah.
He has standards. Is that the right word? I feel like I'm missing a word
He
here.
has a code.
Yes, he has ethics. That's what he
Yeah.
has. He's a
Yeah. Like
man
he
of
has a.
letters.
It's all
All
supernatural
circles back to
related.
Supernatural.
He has a personal code of ethics that he follows, just
He
like
does,
the
and
Winchesters.
it's not bad. You know, I don't think it's bad now that I'm really thinking about it. But someone like Mitch comes along and she really pushes buttons, man. She
Yeah.
gets what she wants. You want somebody who really, really wants something, and they're just gonna do what they have to do.
Exactly. There's just so much in this episode, I'm realizing. Because this is also, Mike ends up getting Midge that showcase for Jack Parr in
She
this
doesn't
episode
get
as
it.
well. Yeah, she doesn't get it. But before all that happens, she goes to Gordon and tells him that she's going to be in the showcase. And she's kind of like, you want to put me on your show before Jack Parr picks me? She tries to play that hand and it back, well, it kind of backfires in that she doesn't end up getting put on Gordon's show. Like he's like, no. And she ends up not getting the Jack Parr. But because of the whole Danny Stevens thing, she does get a raise. So that's kind of nice. So she didn't get like her break then, but she did get a raise. So she got paid as much as the male writers. Can you imagine?
God.
And she got paid more than one of the male brothers.
Perish the thought.
Perish the thought is right.
Unbelievable.
Well, I have two more things. I don't know if you have things to add.
Girl, you know I ain't got no notes.
But this is, there's the whole back and forth where, because Shirley and Moise love Danny Stevens so much, Midge is like, oh, well, I can get you tickets if you want. And they're like, oh, you know someone? And she keeps being like, yeah, me. I work for the show. I can get you tickets. And they're just like in denial that she could get them the tickets. They keep insisting that it's got to be somebody else on the show that's getting them the
But
tickets.
why is it so hard to believe? Midge, what is wrong with them? Are they that kooky? Are they so antiquated that a woman cannot work on a
Yeah.
television show? Like, don't they see her out there?
It's like that
To the left, to the left.
ingrained misogyny.
Oh my
Like, oh,
gosh.
it couldn't possibly be her. It must be like some man on the show that's getting the tickets.
Could you
But they
let
did
the
it in
guy,
a
could you
funny
let the
way.
person know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Even when I think they were like at the show, they even said something like
A mess, absolute mess.
that. Yeah. And then the last thing I had was the whole James thing. So we find out that James did get the movie. Yay, James.
Yay.
He's getting his big break. And because he's going to be in this movie, Jack Parr, he doesn't want Midge, but he wants James on the show. And Susie is like not having it. And Midge has to step in and be like, no, don't hurt James just because they don't want me. Like, you need to book James, blah, blah, blah.
She said, like, Mitch, what was it? Like, Mitch should be first. Like, Mitch comes first.
Yeah, it's like Midge's turn.
Yes.
Yeah, so she even says when she talks to James, and he's so excited about being on the Jack Parr show, she tells him that she thinks that he should turn it down, that it's not his turn.
But
And
the thing
he
is,
is pissed, as he should be.
yes.
Yeah.
What you talking about? It's my turn too.
Yeah, so he's basically, oh, wait, I do have one thing after this too. There's so much in this episode. So he is like basically like, you better book me or I'm gonna find somebody new that will book me. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, you're supposed to be
He is
representing him.
pissed. And we'll find out in the next episode that somebody else is real pissed too, as they should be. Everybody should be pissed about Susie acting this
Yeah,
way.
of course.
Like
Please.
that's dirty.
It is. Surely. Is that funny? When he's talking about when Danny Stevens is talking about his family.
Oh, yeah. But we'll get into the next episode some more with the whole James and Susie telling him to that she thinks he should turn it down. But the last thing in this episode was that, like, when Midge doesn't get the Jack Parr show, she's all cool and like classy and everything when it's all happening. But then she goes home and she runs into the bathroom and she starts crying. And that wakes up Esther and Abe. And so Abe is checking on Midge and he sends Esther back to bed, but Esther doesn't go back to bed. She goes over to the piano and she starts playing it perfectly. And Abe comes in and he realizes it's not the firstborn male, but it's Esther that's his little genius. And this, like, I feel like this is such a pivotal moment for Abe,
Oh
which we'll
my
find out in
gosh.
later episodes,
Oh
of
my
him
gosh.
self-reflecting and growing as a character. Like, this is the moment for him. Like, when he looks over and he sees his little granddaughter, who he pretty much ignored, like, because he was so focused on the male being the genius. And for him to, like, come to this realization that she's going to be the genius
And
in the universe.
even Shirley and Moisha at the beginning of the episode, for let's say for whatever reason, but I think Midge is over with Rose because they may
Oh,
use
yeah.
Shirley and Moisha's home for her business. And they were just poo-pooing like having a daughter, like, oh, we're so, lucky that we had a boy and not a girl. Like they're too much of a handful because they're watching the Danny Steve and they're like, don't listen to grandma. Grandma's drunk. Oh, grandpa too. Oh, don't listen to
Yeah, because Esther is literally right in between the two of them, and they're
Yes.
saying all this shit, and like her super brain is soaking it all in. Like, this is why she has to be in therapy later.
Yes.
One of the many reasons. Did you have anything else for this episode?
No, I don't. Before we actually leave to go into the next episode, I do have a question about Midge that I'm just realizing now. Why is she still working at the strip club or at the gentleman's club, however it
Oh, I think they addressed that in an episode, but I
they
don't remember
did
which one. It's her place
do
where
her
she
eyes.
practices her set so that she can flesh out what works and what doesn't work.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
Because my understanding is that most people have like a kind of a dive place that they test out everything.
Okay.
Well, the
She
next
might as well get
episode.
paid for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Episode 8 is The Princess and the Plea. Oh, okay. I'm just looking at my notes. This is the Bryn Mawr episode. So it starts off with Midge and Joel get called into the school and they're so nervous. Like they're really scared of the I don't know if she's like the principal or like the
Doesn't seem
headmistress or
like she's so bad.
I know they made her sound really bad, but she was actually
Yeah.
really nice. And so they were like, are we getting in trouble? Like what happened? Well, they find out that Abe keeps coming back to the school to see if the school is good enough for Esther because now he's obsessed with his genius granddaughter, Esther.
He's banned from the school.
Yeah. So, like, they're like, yeah, he's banned. And so Midge and Joel have to try to, like, convince her that he could come for certain things. So
So
that was just,
funny.
like, a funny little thing. And so, I feel like that whole scene was one to show that Abe has now focused in on Esther. And that also Midge mentions that she's going back to her college reunion and she's going to see all the girls and stuff like that. And Joel is like, oh my gosh, they all probably hate me. And she's like, no, I'll tell them everything's cool.
I found it very like. I watch these in the evening, so sometimes sleep takes over. There is a scene later on in this episode where after I finished the season, I went back and I rewatched it because I felt like I needed to rewatch it. But I know I've kind of closed my eyes a couple of times when she was with her old girlfriends. I personally didn't see anything of importance until we get to a specific part, and that's it. Like
Yeah, it wasn't.
in this case, this was a filler episode, or
At
most
least this
of it
part of
was
it
for
was. But
Midge.
yeah, there wasn't anything super important. I did find it funny that one of them got jarts, the lawn darts in the episode. And that they played with them because jarts are like a big thing on social media right now that Gen X likes to talk about dangerous things from our childhood.
Darts is.
Well, they're not just darts, they're jarts. They're,
Darts?
yeah, you might not have had them because you grew up in the city.
Okay.
They're lawn darts. So they're these giant darts that you would throw through the air and they would land in the ground. They were playing with them at one point, but you might not have even noticed it. But they
Darts.
were super dangerous, but back in the 80s, it was a free-for-all. Are you
Oh.
looking them up?
I am. I don't know what the fuck this is.
Because you could easily like stab your friend with them.
I mean, they seem to have changed it a little bit where it's like rounded as opposed to.
Oh, maybe they have a version of them
Oh,
now.
wow. That looks really sharp.
Yeah, they were.
Wow.
Because they would go
Okay.
right into the ground. They were basically like little spears. Yeah, I thought it was funny that they mentioned them, so I made note of that.
You would know better than I, girl. Oh, yeah.
But that was really all that I wrote down as far as the Bryn Mawr. For the important part, are you talking about when they were in the shed?
Yes, when she reads her whatever the heck it was and it says don't. But now that I think
Yeah.
about it, Heather, I cannot remember why she wrote that down. Because we find out, but I can't remember why. Like, don't give up. Like, don't give in. Like, don't let people tell you what to do. It could mean anything with Mitch,
Yeah.
really. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they all went and they had these little bottles that they wrote a little note to themselves and they hid them in the shed. And so they found out they were still there. So everyone was reading what they wrote. And yeah, Midge has just said, don't. Other things that happened in this episode, going back to what I was just saying a few minutes ago, where I said someone else was going to be pissed about the whole thing, Dinah is like, Susie, did you freaking say to James that it's not his turn? And Susie gets all defensive, and Dinah's like, no, fuck this. You're going to Baltimore. Get on that damn train.
You gotta kiss ass.
You're gonna apologize. Like, how dare you? And how dare you is correct. So she ends up having to go to Baltimore to apologize in person to James. Some other stuff is we're starting to get more into Hetty. With Hetty comes and we find out that she was able to get Princess Margaret to come on the show,
She
which is
has
like,
power.
yeah, which is a big thing. She smoothed her way into getting Princess Margaret to agree to come on the Gordon Ford show. And so everyone is all aflutter trying to get ready for the show.
And it goes to show where Hetty comes from.
Yeah.
She's
And then
money.
this is also the episode where Hetty meets Midge officially.
And was it just me, or did she seem jealous?
Oh no, yeah, I got that vibe too.
Girl, if you wanted her, you had her. You let her
Yeah,
go.
exactly. But real quick before we get into the backstory with Hetty and Susie, while Princess Margaret is on the show, Midge runs into Shirley and Moish at the show, and she finds out that one of the other writers gave them an open invitation to all the shows because they had such good laughter.
Really, more Shirley, because she's loud as fuck.
And I was like, oh dang, Midge is like, oh God. Because she's probably like, they're going to be here all the time.
Yeah,
They're
they're
going
like
to work.
single. They have no responsibilities. They're good to
Yeah.
go.
Yeah,
You heard
exactly.
me? They're single.
They're
Either
single together. They're single and ready to mingle.
the alcohol is kicking in or the sleep. I don't know. Maybe both.
But I just didn't want to forget about that. But going back to Hetty and Midge, Hetty calls Susie Susan and mentions that they were college roommates. So Midge goes and confronts Susie, like she runs into her, I think, when Susie was coming back from Baltimore.
Yes.
Midge is like, how dare you? Everyone's like, how daring you to Susie this episode. You had a relationship with her that you didn't tell me about. Why wouldn't you tell me about this? You need to use that previous relationship in order to get me on the show. And Susie is like, ugh.
But she does it.
Yes, she does. And I think like even like Hattie is like, this must have been really hard for you. You damn right, girl.
Not to interrupt, but Hetty tells her don't, because Hetty is telling her to take credit for what she did with Danny Stevens. Because Midge is
Oh,
about
yeah.
to tell her, like, oh no, like, yeah, I'm one of the writers, but the other writers also, but it's like, no, it was your idea, own it.
Yeah, when she first meets Midge, yeah, that's a great point. I didn't m make note of that, but you're totally right.
I
Because
knew that there was a reason.
Hetty knows, like Hetty is like, you got to take credit. You got to do like it's hard enough for us as women in this world. Like if you're able to do something, you need to take credit for that good thing that you did.
It's true.
Hetty does go to Gordon and does ask him to put her on the show. And he at first he's like it's like no, but then she basically is like, you owe me, and you don't know exactly what's going on, but there must have been something in the past that she's cashing in a chip.
Yeah.
So he ends up putting Midge on the show, but he's really not happy about it.
Oh gosh, I would love to know what it is that he did that she helped him with. Maybe his career.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, yeah, maybe he got his break because of her. Like,
Yeah.
maybe that's what their kind of odd arrangement of a marriage is about. Because her family does have wealth and influence, it seems like.
Yes.
So, she also brought up the lottery, which I thought was cool about how he's read the lottery and he should know that having a rule and not ha understanding why you're having that rule can be very dangerous. Because he brings up the stupid rule of not having any writers on the show, which was George's rule that he just kept on.
Exactly.
Like just doing something because that's the way it's always been done and not
Doesn't mean
knowing
that it's
why,
okay.
not okay.
I love that she brought that up, especially since we
Yeah.
just talked about it
We did not too long
last. Yeah,
ago.
it was so cool. I was like, yeah, I remember that.
If
It's a
those,
great
if
short
you
story.
haven't, yeah, if you haven't read it, it's The Lottery by Shirley Jackson. Go read it.
We should do more short stories.
Yeah.
Twice a year.
The other thing I had for this episode was what I was starting to allude to in the previous episode with Abe. Abe and Gabe have dinner with some other men, and they have this like fascinating conversation.
Very.
to
Oh my
where he
God.
talks about Esther and Miriam, and he's starting to like reflect on how he acted towards Miriam and how amazing she is, and how he's like, what could she have done if I would have nurtured her like I should have, but I kind of disregarded her as a daughter.
Do you think that there is some type of regret in terms of, well, obviously there is regret, but maybe he, in saying that, was still kind of thinking she wouldn't be a comedian, she would be something else. It doesn't seem like it, but I'm just like bringing it up now.
Yeah, it's possible
But it's
because
a
like
really interesting conversation.
he nurtured Noah, and he's worked for the C he now works for like the CIA or something. Because his focus in life has been so science focused, he might be thinking about that, like what could she have done for the world of science or something like that. But I think he also recognizes that she's in the place that she needs to be in to for her life to be happy. Like this is her calling. So hopefully he's not dwelling too much on the fact that she's not.
I think at the end he's happy where she is because he knows that it's successful. He knows that she loves it.
Love that he's reflecting back on his life.
Morbidly so. He's just so put out about it. This is the scene where I rewatched it after I finished watching the series because I was just falling asleep. Like it was such a dense conversation that it made me sleepy, but it was so fascinating at the same time. Like Arthur right now saying that we're moving at an ungodly pace. Like they were born in the 1800s, a different century before phones, before radio. My parents' house had no electricity till I was 7. When can I keep up? And it brought me back to us. We were born in a different century. We got the internet. We got cell phones. We
Yeah, when we
moved
were
at a
born,
fast
none of that
pace.
was there.
No. Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like an end of the century thing where things have to speed up and then it slows down a
Oh,
little
that's
bit. And then we
interesting.
go back in time. Like so many things that are happening now are so historical in terms of going back to bringing laws from the 1800s and not getting vaccinated. And I'm going there, but things that were done in the past, we're bringing it now into the present. So I wonder if in the future, at the end of this century, if we're going to have another speed up of intellect, of growth. It like it, and that's why I said, oh my God, I have to like go back and watch this conversation because I understood because I did watch the end of it that it was about Midge, but at first it was a general conversation about society. It was so fascinating. I don't know who the writer was. It might have been Dan Palladino, but it was so good this scene that I had to rewatch it or try to rewatch it since I fell asleep the first time. Is that really rewatching?
There's a lot of thought-provoking stuff in there. Yeah, because even you just talking about that, it's reminding me of like, well, too, like there's right now because of like quantum computing and like 5G and like our capability for like exponential storage and stuff, like the technology growth has just gone crazy even over the last like few years. Like it's hard to keep up with it at this. So there's so many people that are being left behind. And then like you just as a librarian, I see this a lot where like because of technology, there's access issues where like it's creating different levels of citizenship where people are becoming like second class citizens because they don't have access to one, either the technology itself or the literacy to be able to utilize the technology. And so you have, especially with older people, like our generation is kind of like doing okay with it. Like we can always do better, but like overall our generation is doing okay with the technology because like we were young enough that we grew up in a unique environment where we had to learn it when we were very young and without like the ease of learning it that we have now, where like we had to just kind of go in and like figure things out on our own without having like tutorials or anything like that, because that was like before YouTube and before they really had things set up to be able to teach people how to use the technology. Generations before us, they didn't have that kind of like flexibility still in their brains to be able to learn it as easily. So when you like look at like our older siblings or like our parents' generation, it's so much harder for them, right? And so many of them are being left behind and even doing things as simple or like what should be seemingly as simple as looking and applying for a job or doing your taxes are much more difficult for them now because it's so technology based.
I
So that
completely
brings up
agree with
all of
you.
that. And
I
then
completely agree with you. Technology-wise, you're absolutely right. It was a freaking great episode.
it was
That
fantastic with that
scene.
scene.
Oh, and then ooh, right now I'm just seeing Hetty looking at Midge. And she gives her like a smile. Good morning, Midge.
Yeah.
She knows, she knows, she knows that Susie loves Midge. I'm gonna say it out. I'm put it out there. She knows.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that that she's jealous because it's pretty obvious like how tight Midge and Susie are.
Yes. And she's looking at Mitch like, okay, I'm gonna do this for Susan, because she obviously
Susan.
still has feelings for Susan. And she just,
Yeah.
I guess it was just that final look of like, okay, yes, I made, like, she made a final decision as she was looking at Mitch, like, this is it.
The final episode 9, 4 minutes.
That was crazy. I think I want to say, I think we could just jump right into it. I don't know if there's anything else.
Well, I will say, like, there's the part with Lenny at the beginning where there's a super awkward set that he does. He's in his pajamas, he's talking about like his court documents and stuff, and Susie goes to talk to him, and Midge is outside. She lies and says Midge isn't there.
This is my take on it, right? Like,
Okay.
she has the,
Fortune
oh my
cookie.
gosh, the fortune cookie, and he says all of these great things about Midge and how basically how great of a comedian she is. She forever holds that fortune cookie. It does not say that. It just has a series of numbers. And that's why she is so disappointed, hurt, sad. She's emotional about seeing the person who influenced her or who had faith in her come to this demise, to the
Okay.
point that was my take on it. Like, you have a mentor. He's guiding you. He's telling you what to do, and he's in shambles.
He can't follow his own advice.
He cannot follow his own advice.
Okay.
That's
I can see that.
my take on it.
Okay. It felt very unresolved because, like, they left it where Susie was like, I'll be back in LA in a month. I'll check on him again. And I mean, we do know that he ends up dying of a drug overdose. I think
Yes.
they find him in his bathroom on the floor or something.
1965, when they, as in Susie
Oh,
and
they
Midge,
did.
are in LA. It doesn't say 1 month, but he
Okay.
passed away in August 1966.
So then after that, it goes back to, I guess, 1961 again, because Susie gets arrested for sleeping in the park and Midge goes to bail her out.
But wait a
And
second.
yeah.
Wait a second. She I don't think she gets arrested for sleeping in the park. I think she gets arrested for going after the police officer.
Yeah.
So they're all the
But
same.
they were harassing her for sleeping in the park. It stems
Oh
from her sleeping in the
my
park.
God. I loved it. I loved that scene. It
It
was. It
was
was. She's like, can I sleep here? Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. So we find out that it's like right after it's, you assume it's the next morning after she asked Hetty to have Midge on the show, because we find out that she was really upset because of the whole Hetty thing. And so she explains to Midge how her and Hetty had met. It was like a really cute story where like they were going to school together and Susie worked in the cafeteria and Hetty kept being like obnoxious to get her to talk to her. And so they started a relationship. And then the plan was that after college, they were supposed to move to Egypt together and live happily ever after. But then junior year, Hetty goes to Paris with her mother and comes back engaged. So rude.
Very rude.
So Susie had her heart broken and Midge is all like, if I would have known this, I never would have asked you. Yada, yada, yada.
To be
Yeah.
like doubled out, get I feel like Midge had to do what she had to do.
Yeah, she had no idea
Yeah,
what.
she, I mean, she said it. She said, like, if I had known,
Yeah.
but I don't, I had a point. I
But
can't remember.
Hetty said that they were college roommates. So that was what she was basing it off of. Like the information she had at the time was they were college roommates and presumably friends.
But it, I mean, considering the time, 1960 something, or at that point, whatever year that was, right, when they were college roommates,
It was
because
15 years before, so we're talking like 1950.
you really think people are going to be acceptable of the fact that you're lesbians?
Yeah,
Come on now.
exactly, which is probably why she broke down and came back engaged.
Yeah, her mother probably done set it up.
Yeah, that trip was probably planned on purpose. So the day starts off rough with that. But then she comes into work and finds out that she's on the show.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
This is the scene. They're at the diner or whatever the heck that was. And Susie asks her, like, okay, let me pause it because I don't want to like mess this up. But Midge is like, oh, you'll fall in love again. She's like, nah, blah, 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 blah. And Susie asks her, have you ever been a blonde? And she said, yes. And Susie responded,
Doesn't say, of course you have, or something like that.
yes, I was. Okay, I was at college for a bit. Yeah, I figured. So
I don't know.
my assumption, and then the way she looks at her, my assumption was she is in love with Mitch because it figures
Oh,
she was a
yeah, it could
blonde.
be. Like, and she probably reminds her of Hetty
Maybe that's a good one.
because they're both from like wealthy families. They're both like go-getters. They don't have a filter.
They don't. And they get what they want, really. Like they're
Yeah.
go-getters because they get what.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
I could be wrong,
I
and
mean, they
I
definitely have like a great love relationship as far as like friendship and working together and everything.
Right.
But there definitely could be that emotional, romantic love on Susie's part.
Some Eros love. I love that she walks through the door to the writer's room and she just goes into, like, you know, I have elderly parents. I have this,
Yeah.
which her parents do not seem elderly to me, but you know, that's a whole nother story. Like, all this stuff. Like, and they're like, whatever, you have a tag on your dress.
Yeah.
I think
She
it's
gets
pretty
called
cute.
out.
Yeah. Oh my
Yeah, so she
goodness.
finds out she's on the show, so she's all excited. She's like, I gotta go change again. And the guys are like, what the hell, when they find out she's gonna be on the show. Which I don't blame them.
Because no one's supposed to be on the show, right? What happened to the rule? Here
Yeah.
comes a lady. She's pretty. They're probably thinking all these things, but it seems to me that they weren't thinking all those things, and I appreciate that. I think they know her well enough to know that she's not that type of girl who is sleeping with Gordon, who is kissing ass. Like, she doesn't do any of that.
I think if they would have thought that, they would have been less shocked.
Right. Gordon is not happy at all.
No.
Not happy, and he makes it very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, do can we fast forward? What else happens in between? Like,
Well, between is like mostly her telling people. We find out that Shirley and Moyse
they fell
fell in
in the
the
shower. That scene is fucking hilarious. Okay,
shower. They're so great.
fucking hilarious. Like, they made the show this season in terms of comedy. Like, where have they been for the past 4 seasons? Heather, like, let's think about this. They really don't need to have Joel's parents in this, but they figure out a way to put them in the season. And when they do, they make them the most hilarious couple ever.
You know what they remind me of? And I didn't think about this until right now. They remind me of like the old variety shows where you would have like couples that were comedians on and they would do the back and forth. So
That's them. You are
I
right.
bet that was the inspiration for the season.
That might be it. Might as well, right?
Let's talk about Gordon and what a fucking asshole he is.
He really showed his true colors,
Yeah,
like more
because.
so.
He like even like Mike was like, what the fuck? Like everybody was just like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Like,
What the fuck?
what is your problem? Like,
Because like instead of having her do her set, he had her on, he didn't even have her on the couch, he had her on a damn stool.
stool,
And
which
Joel
was
was like, why the
offensive.
fuck is there a stool? Like Joel knew and nobody else could figure it out, but Joel in the audience, Joel was the only one that knew and he was like, this is fucking bullshit. He had her on a stool. Was interviewing her as the lady writer on his show. And also, can we go back to when, real quick, when he t when she calls Joel and tells him that she's going to be on the show, like the pure joy on this man's face
You could
warmed
talk
my
about
heart.
me. You could talk about me.
Yeah, he was so happy for her. Like, what a 180 from the first season.
Which
Like
is really frustrating
he
to
has
see that.
grown so much as a character. Like he had to do a lot of the self-reflecting and realizing
And this is why I told
how he
you
was.
that it wouldn't have worked out with May, because he's still in love with Mitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
And
100%.
she's still in love
But
with him.
he recognizes that he ruined it and that they can't go back. They can just have the relationship that they're having now. And like the fact that they can have that friendship and co-parent, if you could call them parenting,
If girl.
it warmed my heart to see how genuinely happy he was for her. So yeah, when he saw her on the stool, he was like, this is bullshit. Like, what the hell is happening? I was not happy with Gordon.
I
But
wasn't happy with him either.
as he said, he was hoisted by his own petard.
He is. I love that. Not that I loved. I hated that Rose for a second there was not going to go to the show. And we
Oh,
have the
yeah.
scene where everyone is calling her and the phone is off the hook. She is completely clueless that the phone is off the hook. She's like, she could have just said that. You have Zelda hiding in the bathroom calling. You have Shirley calling. You have Joel calling. Did Moesha call too? I can't remember.
I don't
But
think he
there's
did.
like
All the writers called.
all the writers called. Thank
Yeah,
you.
that was hilarious. She got hoisted by her petard there too.
Yes. And then at the end, Abe is just like, whatever, I'm bringing all your shit. Let's go. And they're looking all throughout New York City for a cab, and they all have shift changes at that time. They wind up getting on a bus and they make it just in time to get into the audience, even though Imogene somehow is able to get in. Back in the day,
Yeah.
things are different because they would
She shouldn't
not let
have
you
to
ask
wait.
in now, but yeah, hella late. I'm like, Imogene, where the hell have you been the past 2 seasons?
And then she made that lady move.
Yeah, so that's fine. That's
She's
my
like, I'm his
husband.
wife.
That seems so her.
She ends up being part of the previous episode, not even the previous episode, 2 episodes ago, where Midge had the video
Yeah, she's part of
that
the
showed.
entourage.
So I was like, oh,
They're
that's kind of
Midge.
nice that they're still friends.
They are still friends,
Yeah.
but Midge and Susie at the time weren't. But we're all good now.
Yeah. Everybody's there in the audience. Like, Abe and Rose finally do get there. Basically, like, Gordon has a temper tantrum in the middle of the show almost because, well, not even
Yes.
almost, he does because when he is interviewing Midge, she gets laughs and he can't handle that. Even just talking to her, she's getting laughs. So he just suddenly ends the interview and he cuts the commercial, and Mike almost loses his damn mind.
I think he does lose his damn mind. He's
Because
just
even
like,
Shirley was like, there's still 4 minutes left.
yeah.
Like, why are they going to commercial?
She has a timer. She knows.
Don't mess with Shirley.
Oh, and there's the okay, there's the oh, the scene where she has the little wrap from the fortune cookie. This is
Oh, yeah.
before she finds out she only has 4 minutes to be in to be talked to as a writer. Not as a comedian.
Like she's in the dressing room looking at the fortune cookie.
Yeah.
That is
Stupid.
really sweet.
Oh my goodness. Here comes
Dang, Ruth.
Gordon.
But yeah, so Mike basically, because they have 4 minutes to fill, makes Gordon continue on with the interview.
Is it just me or is Gordon being dense at the moment? Like, when
He
Mike
can have
tells
a
you
temper
still
tantrum.
have 4 minutes left. You're like, oh, what? Dude, you got 4 minutes of airtime to fill. You gotta fucking keep talking to her.
Yeah.
This is on you dumb fuck. If you had just given her the spotlight, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah, because he like blindsided Mike too, because Mike had no idea
Yes.
that she was doing this like stool interview instead of doing
Yes,
her
he was
set.
not happy about it.
Yeah. So like, but he was having a damn temper tantrum. He was like, "Well, I'll just talk for 4 minutes,
Where am
like
I
about
pouring?
whatever." And Mike is like, "No, dude, like this, like it's not his first day. He knows better."
Yeah, exactly. He should
Yeah,
know.
but Midge, being Midge, is like, "All righty, all right, all right. Let's, Susie, I might do something that might ruin your career. Are you okay with that?" And Susie is like, "Tits up."
Tits up. That's right.
So Midge goes rogue and she takes over the show and she does her 4 minute set and she kills it. Like even like Gordon is cracking up.
Yes, he cannot help himself.
Yeah.
And he asks her afterwards to sit on the couch. And she's like, me? Really?
Yeah, and that was as much of an ass and like having a temper tantrum that he was having, he did admit that he was wrong.
She really did kill it those 4 minutes, and it came just out of her, which goes to show
Yeah.
what a natural she is. She didn't have anything written out. She just talked about what she, well, whatever came up in her brain at that moment.
Yeah. So, yeah, because she did have her set, but she would have had to shorten it and everything.
Yeah.
Being the professional that she is,
She
she
kept
was
looking
able to
at that
kill
mic.
it.
She kept looking at that mic. I was stressing out. I was like, I mean, is everyone blind? Like, are they not seeing her looking at the mic? Like,
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, Gordon's too self-centered to realize.
well, like you said, he was having a tantrum.
Yeah.
He's too busy thinking
Rose
about himself.
was funny when Midge was making fun of her, and Rose goes, "Yeah, that's fair enough."
Yes.
But yeah, and then afterwards, I love that Joel kept being like, "I'm the
But didn't like what's his face Archie also say like I'm his friend, I'm the ex-husband's friend or something like that? Like I feel like
Oh,
someone else was
maybe.
saying something at the same time.
I know that when they talked about like what's her name, the secretary that Joel was cheating with,
Oh
and
yes.
they talked about, he was saying like how like people were calling from the party about how stupid she was. Joel looked over and was like, "Did you guys do that?" And Imogene was like, "Yep, from the party."
Yep.
Oh, because it
Yep. Yep.
was
Yep.
over
Yep.
the ashtray or something like that.
So yeah, she was like talking to inanimate objects. Like,
Yeah.
really? Really? Gosh, 4 minutes. You hearing me? 4 minutes.
But she did kill it. And her timing, like she was great on her timing because like she knew exactly when to wrap it up. And
And she knew to mention Bergman. Where is it? Bergdorf? Wait, I can't even think.
Bergdorf,
Bergdorf,
whatever
as
the
you can
Dutch
see,
place
we are
was.
not high society people.
No.
Bergdorf Gorman.
Yeah, because she wrapped it up with like saying
Gotta
like,
look it
"Oh,
up.
my kids' names are Esther and
Ethan and
Ethan or
Esther.
whatever," and then like she did the thank you for the dresses, and then I'm the marveler,
Bergdorf
I'm the
Goodman.
Mrs. Maisel, and we find out
Yeah.
that Gordon calls her the marvelous
Yes,
Mrs. Maisel.
he's the one that gave her that name. Well, he didn't give her that name, but that's the title of the show.
Yeah, so that's kind of nice that we found out how that came about.
Yes, I'd like to see if their relationship progressed. I mean, it doesn't matter, but I just want to know how certain things wrap up.
Yeah, because
And this
he
is one of
does. I
them.
mean, he does whisper in her ear, "You're fired."
He
But it
winks.
seemed,
He winks.
yeah, it seemed very much like it was like, "You're fired so that you can go on and be a star."
Exactly.
And we do find out that he dies in like the 80s, I think. But I got the vibe that they were still in the same circles and everything.
It was so good. And then after that, we flash forward to
2005, when she's meeting with her team. Is that the scene that you're talking about?
yes, and she
Yeah.
does not want to have a day off. She is a worker.
Yeah, she's a worker bee. And even like Susie knows that. Like Susie's like, "Oh my God, they didn't book you for a day."
And we see at the end there when she's talking to, or actually before she starts talking to Susie. She like adjusts a picture of her and Joel.
Yeah, she still has a picture of them from their wedding day. Now we don't know if he's still alive at that point, but we know that their relationship continued on their whole lives.
Yeah. And I think having that flashback, the scene where they go to the Alcott school to discuss Abe, we see flashbacks of their relationship, how they got together, and we saw them in the fire escape, they kiss. There is love there, but like you said, Joel like messed up. He knows he can't go back.
Yeah.
And she knows she can't go back, even though there's love there. That's very interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It's that they never get back together again. There's never like
Well,
that hope.
that does happen because, like, my parents got divorced when I was like 4. And up until my mother's death, like, they were like best friends. Like, my mom always said, like, their relationship after their divorce was so much better than their relationship when they were married. Like,
So
they were
fascinating.
way closer than they ever were when they were married. So it does happen, like, because you still have like that bond with people, and
Well, you created
when
three
you
human beings together, right? And
when
like,
you don't have the constraints of marriage, like you can like get along a little bit better if you don't have like the complications of romantic relationships. So it's
Oh,
nice that
pressure.
they had that. We see Midge has definitely made it. Like, her house is huge. Did you notice her dining room table?
I know,
And she eats
completely
in the
huge.
kitchen.
Yeah.
And she's
That
got staff.
I don't know about you, but it kind of made me a little bit sad for her because you don't see her with Esther or Ethan or
Yeah,
their
like, I
families.
actually wrote down that she has this huge apartment and only staff is there with her. She's all alone.
Yeah, says a lot.
Yeah.
Says a lot.
Because, yeah, at this point, we don't know where Esther and Ethan are. We assume Ethan is in Israel with Hava and their kid.
It's like the price you pay for fame.
Yeah.
You lose your fam. Well, it seems like you lose your family for Mitch.
Yeah.
But at the end, they Susie winds
Yeah.
up talking to Mitch, and they're watching record. It's 2005.
Yeah.
They are watching recorded on video cassettes from the 1980s and 90s Jeopardy.
Yeah, because they, Susie's on a different continent. They don't say exactly where she is, I don't think, but she's somewhere tropical.
Yes.
She's got lots of birds,
She
but
loves
they're
her
on the
birds.
phone. And Midge had sent her bird. The red bird was a gift from Midge.
You know, she loves her
And so,
pigeons and
yeah, so
stuff, yeah.
they're on the phone together watching Jeopardy and shooting the shit like old friends do.
Yeah.
And
Laughing.
yeah, laughing. Like, yeah, like the series ends with them just like laughing hysterically at each other. Yeah, then it fades to black
End scene.
and there's a whisper, "Girls talk." And then it goes into the song, "Girls Talk."
Yes, by Tegan and Sarah, or Tegan and Sarah, something like that. I can't remember their names.
Oh,
So,
yeah, I don't know that one.
apologies, apologies. I had to look it up. Well, actually, not that I had to look it up. It was on the screen because I have the subtitles.
I'm terrible at
Tegan,
remembering that stuff.
they're twin
But
sisters from
yeah,
Canada.
it seemed like a very Amy Sherman Palladino ending.
Yes, it
And
did.
it
I was so
was
happy
amazing.
with
Because
it.
you gotta end with
I was so happy. I probably was crying.
those female relationships. You know you were
Or
crying.
maybe not. I can't remember. But I mean, they ended with them laughing, so maybe I
It
didn't cry.
was so positive, and I'm so traumatized by life that I kept being like, "Oh my God, I hope one of them doesn't die. I hope one of
I
them
said,
doesn't die."
girl, you're not the only
It
one. There's nothing wrong with happy endings, and there's nothing wrong with realistic endings. But because we're so conditioned into thinking that bad things are going to happen, you know, I thought that they weren't going to be friends at the end, right? Like,
Yeah.
okay, they had those 5 years. I thought it was going to be until their dying breath. One of them will come up to the coffin, like, I wish I had said something. Thank God they didn't allow that to happen. They
Yeah.
appreciated the relationship. They cared for the relationship. They nurtured the relationship. They had to grow. They love each other. It was like, oh,
Yeah.
we are so happy that they are friends. We are
Yes.
so happy that Midge was successful at the expense of her family. I'm gonna be honest, it
Yeah.
was at the expense of the family.
We hope that Esther and Ethan both end up being okay in the long run. We do know that Joel was due to get out of prison, so he
Good
should have been
behavior.
long out of prison by 2005. Yeah, because I mean, he was in jail for at least a few years, but yeah, he got out for good behavior.
Yes.
We love that they were able to maintain their friendship.
So yeah.
Imogene and Mitch having a long-term relationship was really nice too. It was
Yes.
also really nice that we didn't, I don't think we talked about this, but maybe we did last week. Midge just did what, I think we did talk about this last week, how Midge just did whatever her mother wanted once she became famous. Like, she was like, "She wants to do a commercial, we're doing a commercial." Like, she was
Yes.
just like, "I am
Yes.
giving back to this woman. She is not going to
Yes.
want for anything." But
Yes.
that was nice
She
because as a child,
bought
you
a
kind of,
building.
yeah, you want to do that, you'd be able to do that for your parents.
Yeah. And it's like they're losing money, and she's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't
Like,
care.
whatever she wants, she will want for nothing.
As roses. When I was watching it, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And I didn't know it was a
Yeah.
fast forward because, of course, they didn't say. I don't think they say all the time when it's a future scene versus a current or past scene. I don't know
Not
why.
always, yeah.
But I was just like, what the fuck is going on over here? Like, Rose, what are you doing? What are you doing? Is it that
She's
serious?
living
But
her
obviously
best life.
it became that serious. Like, she was a mismatch
Yeah.
mismatchmaker at the expense of Frank and Nikki.
Yeah. We don't know whatever happened to Frank and Nikki. I guess they keep on keeping on.
Yeah, they probably continued having money up until she retired, I suppose.
Yeah. We love that Esther had her grandfather.
She speaks highly of him
Yes.
during the therapy session. So he
Yeah.
must have mellowed out to a certain extent, because she probably would have not, I think, spoken nicely about him.
Well, he probably found her to be a kindred spirit, and we also know through that scene where he was, that dinner scene, that he was recognizing his flaws and hopefully changing them to help with this new generation that is Esther, where he can make
Interesting.
up for where he messed up with Midge. So yeah.
Though Midge
So,
doesn't, I don't think Midge sees that, but
no, she
he
doesn't
thinks
need to
he
see that
does.
though.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it helped him improve as a human being.
Exactly.
And we'll hope and assume that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
But
I think he definitely did.
overall, a really good season. Really love the writing.
The last season, for me, it dragged, but this season was just this. It's not even season, finale, like series finale.
Yeah.
That's it. We will not have any more Marvel, the
Yeah.
marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
They wrapped it up really nicely. Good ending.
And I'm glad Amy Sherman-Palladino and her husband were able to finish something unlike Gilmore Girls.
We won't go
I'm.
there.
Ay.
Really glad that we watched it.
Me too. I'm glad I
Yeah.
did. Took a while, but I'm glad I did.
Any final thoughts?
No.
Yeah. Well, let us know on Instagram if you all had any thoughts about this season, any favorite episodes, any favorite scenes, et cetera, et cetera.
Till the next time, y'all.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Please go to Instagram, like and follow us. Check out all of our other episodes. We are on all the major places where you can get your podcast. If you feel inclined, please go over and buy us a coffee. We need the caffeine.
Yes.
If there's anything particular we should be watching or reading, please let us know on Instagram or just come over and say hi. And in the meantime, thanks for listening to Gabbing.
Gabbing.
We're Gabbing. We're Gabbing. We're Gabbing. We're Gabbing. We're Gabbing. We're Gabbing.